From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. When the film The Godfather came out in 1972, it was a critical and popular success. It cost $6 million to make, much more than Paramount Pictures had bargained for. Its resolute young director, Francis Ford Coppola, insisted on a period setting, and he wanted much of the filming to take place on the streets of New York, not in a studio. Coppola's vision paid off artistically and financially. The movie became a national topic of conversation. Comics did parodies of actor Marlon Brando as the Godfather. Audiences marveled at the fresh young talent of Al Pacino as Michael Corleone. Now it's possible to follow The Godfather and its two sequels scene by scene, if you're so inclined, and you can have Coppola virtually at your side. The director offers his commentary on a new DVD collection. Kim Aubrey produced the Godfather DVD. We invited him to preview the package he assembled.
I've worked with Francis Coppola here at Zoetrope for many years, and the Godfather films, especially the first two, they're always the, how do you put it, kind of like that, the elephant in the corner that you don't really talk about. Everyone knows the films. Everyone who is intimate with Francis Coppola knows that for him, his success on these films early in his career is a boring subject or an irritating subject. But when Francis sat down and watched the films, it was like you flipped a switch and memories poured out.
When I realized that I was actually going to make a movie out of the novel The Godfather, I took the book and I actually wrote my comments right on the book itself. I then made a prompt book out of it.
Francis Coppola's notebook was followed almost to the letter if you watch the film.
I pulled my book apart that I had made those comments on, and I pasted every page of the novel onto sheets of paper like this, so that, of course, you could see both sides.
If we are left with the impression that Francis Coppola is not methodical and shoots from the seat of his pants, I think there's a truth to that, but there is another aspect, which is that he is someone who prepares intensely, and that comes from his background working in the theater before he got into films, where preparation is everything.
I put pitfalls, which was to say, how can I screw this up? What are clichés? Italians who would talk like this. Failure to make a convincing setting. Boring. Scene 26, Michael picked up by Sollozzo and the killing, parenthesis, key scene. The core, to show the killing as terrifying and explicitly as possible, having taken the tension to an unbearable degree. To further define Michael's character in regards to his cool, totally calm execution of these men.
I'm gonna speak Italian to Mike. Go ahead.
Pitfalls. Rushing this would ruin it. Otherwise, the scene can't be ruined. That's good to know when you're just this poor little director sitting there and somebody says the scene cannot be ruined, so you know you've got something.
Really great thing about this director is that he really is full of surprises. The story is about, for example, Lenny Montana, the fighter who plays Luca Brasi. What actually happened on the set is very funny.
Don Carlo, I am honored and grateful that you have invited me to your home on the wedding day of your daughter. And may that first child be a masculine child.
A shot of Luca Brasi practicing his speech to Don Corleone was shot after the scene where he actually presented it to Don Corleone.
Don Corleone, I am honored and grateful that you have invited me to your daughter's wedding on the day of your daughter's wedding.
Luca Brasi was played by Lenny Montana, who was, I believe, a professional wrestler. When he went up to do the scene with Marlon, he really froze up.
For your daughter's bridal purse.
Thank you, Luca. My most valued friend.
Don Corleone, I'm going to leave you now because I know you are busy.
So I got the idea, since he kept fumbling it, to shoot him in the garden, practicing it over and over and over and over again, sort of making a a point out of the fact that he fumbles it out of nervousness, having practiced it so many, many times. Interesting about the horse's head scene, that was at that time a very, very famous scene in the book. And the way it's described in the book, Waltz wakes up and he looks, and the horse's head is there on the bedpost. And I just felt it would be more horrible not to just have the horse there, but that he feels something wet in his bed and he turns down the sheets and sees blood. And at first he thinks, my God, it could be me. Maybe I've been stabbed or something. And as he pulls the sheet, he sees the horse's head. Although in The Godfather, you know, untold tens and twenties of human beings are killed, the audiences rose up in anger over the fact that the horse had been killed. The truth was that the horse came from a dog food company, that the horses are slaughtered to feed the animal lovers, little puppies and little poodles, their dog food. And all we did is we went to the dog food company and we looked at the horses that were about to be slaughtered. We didn't ask for any to be slaughtered, but we looked and we saw one. The art director picked that one and said, when that horse is slaughtered, send us the head. And indeed, one day a crate with dry ice came with this horse's head in it.
I guess I feel that the great opportunity The Godfather presented us with is that everyone loves these films on so many levels, that it was possible to be highbrow, to be also irreverent at times and silly, and have something for everyone. And maybe in the process, some folks who watch these films will learn something about the art of filmmaking or the filmmakers that they never knew before.
Kim Aubrey of American Zoetrope. He produced the 5-disc collection of the 3 Godfather movies, which, among other things, includes running commentary by Francis Ford Coppola.